Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome.
Weed Day Wednesday.
Yep. That was bad. That was like horrible. A Mr. Ed thing. God, that was awful. Welcome to Weed Day Wednesday.
Oh, hey, Star.
How's it going, Cannabis Kid?
Doing good.
We've got a little spooky background going on. Just trying to figure out. We were going to do a reggae monster mix. I think it's pretty good. You guys can tell us how you like it. It's going to bust in any second now. I think it's good.
We need to work on that.
Yeah, I think we do. We'll probably turn them both down and just say, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. Happy Halloween, everybody. Didn't mean to freak you all out with that. We have a fun night. We have an early show because it is Halloween and it's already dark. So maybe you're all out trick-or-treating already, but there's lots going on. So we wanted to have an early show so you guys could all get out and do that.
Trick-or-treat.
What are you going to be dressed as tonight, Cannabis Kid?
I don't know. I don't know if I'm actually going out yet.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
if I was,
what would it be?
Well, my costume earlier this morning was.
Yes, tell us what you were. This is great. You're going to love this.
I was Doris Murphy from The League of Their Own, a.k.a. Rosie O'Donnell.
Ow!
Yeah, that went over really well.
Do we have a movie quote?
There's no crying in baseball.
Thank you. There you go. Good job.
You're welcome.
Well, welcome to Weed Day Wednesday. That was a silly introduction. Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. We will have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona
and
the
world
at large. Big world, people. So you can
call, email, or blog your questions to have them aired weekly. Go ahead and call tonight if you have any questions for Cannabis Kid or Bell Star at 646-915-8421.
Yes, and if you have questions for our wonderful guest tonight, we have a very special, very appropriate show. We have a member of the American Cannabis Nurses Association. So we'll get into the little bloody details and how she got in there.
And perfect for tonight for Halloween.
Heather Maness is her name, and she will be speaking with us in just a moment. She looks hot tonight. She's got an outfit on to die for. She's
going to go down.
And
I think you should enter in a costume.
Oh, yeah. You would win. Well,
you would definitely
totally
win.
Totally. We're with you on that one.
You got a Tommy gun.
Oh, yeah.
I left it in the car.
Okay.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah, because she saw the no weapons sign
at
Tumbleweed Cell Center.
Tumbleweed.
There you go. Speaking of Tumbleweeds, we'd like to thank Tumbleweed Cell Center for hosting this special show tonight. Along with certifications, you'll find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things educational related to medical cannabis.
www.tumbleweedhealthcenter.com.
All right. Why don't we just, we've got all sorts of things, but let's just jump in the interview because this is fun when we have an in-house guest here, which we do. This is always great. And I'm going to probably scoot your mic a little closer. I know it's a little bit of a hand. We're going to go like that, but just not to interrupt your coffee there. All right. You could scoot all that over and get cozy with us here on the couch here. So how are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be here tonight.
Thank you for
happy
being
Halloween.
Here. Yeah, happy Halloween. Great to have you. We asked you to be a part of the show with the American Cannabis Nurses Association, but for everybody out there, Heather, who has a hat on now, wears many hats. So we're going to talk about all sorts of things tonight. So we want people to call in, blog in, ask your questions, chat with us, and talk to Heather. And let me just read a little bit about the American Cannabis Nurses Association. It was founded by a small group of nurses who saw the need for expanding the knowledge base of endocannabinoid therapeutics among nurses. It is nurses, after all, who are there all the time. Amen to that. I've had a lot of sick family members, unfortunately. And true, 24 hours a day, nurses are there all the time.
On call.
Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, my background was really in home health nursing. And so what I found through that experience was that I was in their home every week every day, every other day, whatever the schedule was, and I would see these patients time and time again. We would get these really great relationships. And they would share with me that they used cannabis. Mm. And it was happening more and more and more. And they, you know, I said, well, are you telling your doctor? Oh, no, 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 I'm not going to tell my doctor. He'll stop giving me my opiates, or he'll stop giving me my this.
Right.
I can't tell him. But I found that I knew this information. So what I started doing was carrying, and this was in New Mexico where I was working, I would carry the medical cannabis program applications. And when patients would disclose to me that they were using, I felt it was my duty as a nurse to make sure that at least they were legal and they didn't have a legal issue to worry about because of the medication that they were choosing to use.
Right.
And so I investigated it further and saw how much it was really helping the patients.
Mm.
They were able to get off of hurtful medications. They were able to decrease their opiate use. You know, we were seeing it as an exit drug for substance substance use. And
wow.
So there were many beneficial that were coming from this I could not ignore.
Interesting. And let me ask you maybe a personal question. Maybe why do you think these patients that you were seeing trusted you enough to tell you they were using medical cannabis when they may have feared that their doctors would take this away? I mean, you look cool. Our listeners can't see that per se. But how like, if there are people out there that wanted to disclose this kind of information to their trusted healthcare provider right now, how do they go about doing that? How would they do that with you in such a way that made you go, oh, maybe I should look into this? How were you open-minded?
Well, as a nurse, I just realized, you know, that it's not my job to judge what people are doing. It's my job to educate. And in order to educate, I need to have all the information, which includes, you know, the assessing of the situation and gathering of data. So I'm actually a psych nurse, so I've developed ways to just be very open with patients and not put any of my own judgment in to anything that I'm doing. And so we learn that as nurses, but sometimes it's hard to do. We get, you know, we're having a bad day or whatever the case may be. But it's really important for nurses to remember that it's not, patients are going to do what they're going to do. And if you're open, you'll know more than if not.
Right. And can obviously better help them.
Yeah, just I would say drop the judgment of your patients and
sure.
listen to them and see what.
Absolutely. How long have you been involved with the Cannabis Nurses Association?
Well, that's kind of interesting. I went to the Patients Out of Time conference in April.
Right.
Good conference.
And it was
excellent,
wonderful.
Conference.
And I met so many great people that are just, they are moving forward with this cannabis medicine, the endocannabinoid system. They're out there teaching us about it. You know, as a medical professional, I didn't even know that we really had a separate system.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought there were receptors in the brain or something, but they're finding that there actually is a system, just like our cardiovascular system or
nervous system.
System.
Wow.
That it, and they find that the endocannabinoid mm-hmm. system facilitates the function of every other system within our body. And
interesting.
It's important. They're finding that we have endocannabinoids. Hmm. These are cannabinoid molecules that we're creating within ourselves. And so when we look at how cannabis can help with you know, I like to think of it as people who are depressed. They have a lowered level of serotonin, or they have
mm-hmm.
some kind of an imbalance.
Right.
And
okay.
I think the same thing happens with the cannabinoid system, that some people need it and some people don't. There's some people that will use it. There's some people that will not.
Sure.
And it's some people that are allergic and some people that tolerate it in only certain form.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of us, just like every other medicine. We need to look at it and educate nurses that there is a system that's being utilized with the use of cannabis.
Is that happening, that education? Is that wide stream?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay.
No,
I was excited for a second. I'm like, wait, yeah.
It's a real shame because there's so many student nurses that I know, and I ask them, you know, are they talking about the endocannabinoid system? Do they teach you about cannabis medicine? And the answer is always
no.
And I say, well, you know, you need to educate yourself. Because this is cutting edge and they're not going to have it in the nursing school quite yet. But really, that's what our focus is as the American Cannabis Nurses Association, is to get out there and educate other nurses, give them the support that they need to educate themselves. And if you're educated, you can work with your patients better. I knew about cannabis, so I was able to work with my patients.
Right.
If I was judgmental or scared or fearful or unknowledgeable, I wouldn't have been able to be helpful in that way. So I think it's important for us to have a network of nurses who understand, who can then share that information to the rest of the medical community.
So in medical science, when someone wants to become a nurse or a doctor or a PA or whatever, if we have this endocannabinoid system within our human bodies, why are they not talking about it? Just as a system, if we have a nervous system and immune system, if that system is present within the physiological aspects of our body, why isn't that talking?
And Mary Lynn Mathry is really doing a lot of work. She's the president of Patients Have Time. She's the president of the American Cannabis Nurses Association. And she goes around and she does seminars for nurses. And actually, it's not just for nurses, for anyone who would like to come and learn about the ECS or the endocannabinoid system. She then gives these seminars. For nurses specifically, they can receive credit. They can get their continued education units or CNEs.
Like they did at Patients at
Exactly.
Time.
Exactly. And they can do that by going to the seminars that Mary Lynn is teaching, you know, giving and presenting about the endocannabinoid system.
Now, for all the nurses listening out there, where can they find that information?
You can go to cannabisnurse.org, or I would suggest going to Patients Out of Time, the website for Patients Out of Time. I think that would be a good place for you to look and see where the upcoming seminars are happening. We are looking to have Mary Lynn come here to Arizona. Hopefully in April is what we're looking at, and so we're calling all nurses to come out and educate yourselves on the endocannabinoid system. It's a real system, and we need to be aware of how it works.
Well, we should definitely have her on air, and she can talk about that too. Medicalcannabis.com for Patients Out of Time.
Okay.
Yep. If they're coming back, Patients Out of Time, we'll get them back on. And
we would love to have them come
back.
That's
great.
And, you know, we're working with an organization, a local organization here in Tucson, the Green Halo, and they're working with Patients Out of Time and trying to coordinate something where we can help them to come back. We want them back here in Tucson. It was such a great conference, and we just feel like this is a really good venue for it.
And every 2 years they go to a different city in the United States. Is that correct?
That's what it's been thus far. But
for the U.S., but you said to me earlier.
Well, they do the conference every other year.
Okay.
The reason they do that is because they have one here in the United States and one in Europe.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm not sure where it's going to be in 2013.
Medicalcannabis.com. You can check out the conference
schedule. It's usually
schedules
the newest state that goes on board with medical cannabis.
And that's what they were what they've been doing here in the U.S. And we understand that and we get the logic of it, but we just feel like it would really be beneficial for Patients Out of Time to have a big support system here in Arizona, because we can really support them. We're very medical here.
Yeah.
And we just would love to have them come here and continue to.
They're awesome.
Did they have a big turnout of nurses at the Patients Out of Time here in Tucson?
They did. They had a great turnout.
Oh, good.
We had nurses and physicians and patients and people who were just curious. There were researchers there.
Dr. Wild showed up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He's a big supporter.
He was great.
Yeah, he talks a little. That was great.
Well, that's great. There was such a big group of nurses out there that are interested.
Well, they were able to, again, get their credit. They were able to get CNEs by attending the conference. And, I mean, by the end of the conference, I thought my head was going to explode with all of the knowledge that they just shoved in my brain.
Oh, first 10 minutes that happened for me. I was in the first 10 minutes. I was like, wait, I'm back in school. I need to take notes. And yeah.
Yeah, it was even amazing. Difficult for some of us medical professionals who know this stuff. I went, wow. They're really finding out some amazing things. So.
Yeah, I remember when I was getting overwhelmed that you guys were all getting credits for your classes, so I didn't feel as bad because it was deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's
deep.
A lot. It's awesome. It was an awesome conference.
But they did a really, really explaining everything.
They did.
You know, we have the book here I have a couple of the books from.
Underneath the empathy book, there's a whole endocannabinoid system.
We have
the
whole thing here, so people at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
It talks about juicing, which you talked about.
I would encourage anyone to come down and take a look at this book that you have. It does talk about juicing and how really what they found is that the THC and the psychoactive component of cannabis, it doesn't happen until the product has been heated in some way, whether it's,
okay,
you know, being smoked or it's being cooked or it's being, you know, manipulated in some way. But just raw cannabis being juiced in its regular natural form is non-psychoactive. But they found that it's actually reversing rheumatoid arthritis, that
wow,
it's reversing autoimmune disorders,
wow,
that it's helping in so many ways. And I've had patients that juice.
I swear.
My goodness, they are alive. They just look good and they feel good and the energy level is up. And
it is
amazing medicine.
We talked to somebody. I talked to somebody today that said their experience with juicing was this, that without the psychoactive effects, what happens for them when they juice, they took some fan leaves, put it in with their carrot juice or whatever. They said after about 45 minutes, they felt they were real warm and fuzzy from the inside. It wasn't psychoactive, but it was the anti-inflammatory properties of the cannabis that were working, was relaxing them without the stoniness or high or whatever. But they were literally, would be like taking ibuprofen, but a good form. You know?
It feels like a warm hug.
Yeah.
What I've had patients say.
Yeah. That's what she said today.
Similar to what you're explaining, I've had patients say about the use of topicals.
Yeah.
So when they put on topicals, it makes them feel like it's a warm hug. Same thing. It's one of, cannabis is one of the most potent anti-inflammatories on the face of the planet.
Mm.
And to be able to utilize this medicine without having all of the other side effects that some of the other anti-inflammatories have,
absolutely,
you know, this is just invaluable information for patients and caregivers and
it is
medical professionals to be aware of.
Yeah, and it's a whole new way and a whole new idea on how to use this plant, because for so many years the stigma of reefer madness and, you know, smoking joints and going crazy or whatever. Like, we're juicing now. Like, we're into this new phase of, you know, using the entire plant, which is what is important. And I think Dr. Courtney, there's a video called, Leaf, gives a great video you can find on Tumbleweed's website, tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, and you go to the video section, click on Leaf. He talks about juicing and has some patients talk about it, but he says there's like 60 times the medicinal value from using the raw plant. And if you think about it, you're using the entire thing. You know, and when you smoke it or vaporize or cook with it, you are only using part of it because you are destroying part of the properties and heating it. You are getting other properties as well. But, you know, always when you juice a raw or whole plant, it's a lot, you know, it's much better for you.
Absolutely. And yeah, it just makes sense. You know, I think the issue that patients have with juicing is that, you know, it really needs to be used immediately. It's not something that can be necessarily bottled up or packaged. And so it's hard for patients to get enough fresh leaf on a daily basis to have. So, you know, this comes back to some of the legal issues. You
mm-hmm.
know, that if patients were allowed to have, to just grow it the way that they would grow anything else, a house plant or something like that,
right,
they can have constant
access to it,
to
right,
that
to fresh.
Fresh.
Right,
I mean,
what you need, pull it off and throw it in the juicer.
Right,
yeah, exactly. It should be part of the herb garden.
I've been lucky. I've had friends that have given the little fans and everything. So we've had juice for about 8 months or 8 weeks now.
Wow, and so, are you feeling the difference?
Oh, I do feel the difference. I've actually cut back on how much I smoke now.
Because you're getting relieved.
Yeah, in the morning I make with the fresh apples, orange, you know, juice, carrots, all whole. Even throw it in your salad.
Yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah,
it's really.
Yeah.
It is. It's an herb, and it tastes good.
Good for you.
And in the booklet that's here, the Patients at a Time booklet, they actually show a section there where you can freeze it. They were doing little ice cube things.
Absolutely, and that's a great idea. That's a good way to be able to store it. There is some controversy on how long it lasts.
Yeah, of course.
It does lose some of its properties. So,
sure.
But I think that's a wonderful idea.
Especially for in between crops, you know, when you run out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's great. And what do you know about edibles?
Oh, I happen to know a little bit about those.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about edibles?
Well, Well, I'll take you back to the New Mexico days. So after working with patients and kind of becoming familiarized with the medical cannabis program there, I actually became a medical director for one of the nonprofits. And I worked directly with medical cannabis patients in New Mexico, and I did that for 2 years.
Awesome.
What I found through that experience were that patients needed medicine in different forms. They, you know, we had patients that were coming to us who had never used cannabis before. You know, you can't hand somebody, you know, raw flower, a joint, something like that, and expect them to be able to take that medicine that way. So, you know, I would tell them there are tinctures that you can take. There's topicals you can use. There's edibles that you can, you know, eat brownies or suckers, lozenges, things like that. And they said, well, great, Heather, where can I buy those?
Yeah.
And so at that time, I realized because the program was so young in New Mexico that I had to do something. And so I opened a bakery and started serving the New Mexico patients, the different dispensaries there, or the producers with medicine in that form.
Awesome.
And the demand was just unbelievable. People were so grateful for that kind of medicine. And it's actually what brought me here to Tucson. I'm developing an edibles program here in Tucson for the Green Halo to service as many patients in Arizona as I possibly can serve.
That's awesome. And what kind of edibles do you make other than brownies?
We make baked goods. We make chocolates. We make hard candies, lozenges. We'll be making ice cream and different things. And really, we're doing a lot of reaching out there and looking to see what is the most cutting edge. We have great people working with us. They're very creative. So we'll be getting new items all the time. We'll be providing new things.
Well, I have a question about edibles then. So when you go to CVS or Rite Aid and you go get your Tylenol or ibuprofen or whatever, you get 200 milligrams, you know exactly what's in it. The question we always get and we've heard often is, how do you know what's in an edible? How much is in a bite? How much is in a whole brownie? How much is in one lozenge? Is that consistent? That's the thing that people are asking us. Where's the consistency in this medication?
And that's a great question. And the answer to that is in testing. You know, we have to test the product previous. We have to test it after. You have to make sure that it is what we say it is. And, you know, as you put in a specific amount into this batch and you make that many, you're very, very much able to determine what it is that you're doing, but then you always have that question. So you have to make sure that you test the medicine that you're using
and
all of the products that you're making so that you can be sure that you're getting an accurate dose. And people who are using edibles for the first time must be aware that edibles, you know, we talked about the endocannabinoids that we produce, the ones that our bodies produce on their own. There's one that we produce, and I'm pulling a blank. It's the Hydro 11. Is that what it is? Do you know what I'm talking about? It's a THC that is in, I wish I would have written it down, darn it. But it's an endocannabinoid that we produce. We eat an edible, and it goes through the digestive tract. It goes through your liver. And our bodies convert it into an internal or innate cannabinoid, THC, and it becomes very psychoactive. And so people need to realize that when you're taking in, you know, not only is it psychoactive, it's doing multiple other things that are beneficial, but you do get that additional psychoactive effect if you're sensitive to it, because there are other patients that they don't get the psychoactive effect. They say, you know, edibles don't really do much for me. So one thing about edibles, it's very, very individualized. It depends on the person. It depends on the patient. You have to try it, check it out, and know yourself. But we've found edibles to be a really great way for the elderly to take their medicine.
Okay.
We found it a great way for hospice patients to be able to get relief.
Absolutely.
And just people who want that extra feeling that comes from internal, not just the quick smoking them. It, you know, it takes about an hour for you to feel the effect of an edible, where when you smoke, you feel it immediately.
Right.
So although eating edibles is the best way to take your medicine, it is not the quickest way to get relief. And so some people will do a combination.
Okay. But it is longer lasting
than most
smoking or vaping, vaporizing.
You can vaporize or you can smoke, and it'll last you, you know, between 2 to 3 hours, where when you eat it, it's going to last you between 4 to 6.
Okay. There you go. What about vaporizing? Same thing with smoking? Is it along
the same?
About the same.
They enter the bloodstream through the lungs.
So will your edibles be tested? And
absolutely.
Will they have little charts on the back that say you're getting this many milligrams, or
absolutely,
so people can come
everything will be labeled. Arizona, they are so concerned about patients, which they should be, and they will be requiring every label that you can imagine will be on our
just app. Like you see on the back of a cereal box, this amount of this and this and this and this and this are in there. Cool.
Down to the state is requiring that we put labels stating the medication that's in it, where that came from, what the additives are for that, how it was grown. I mean, they're requiring
awesome,
very in-depth information, which is wonderful for patients. They should feel
very
good about the medicine that they'll be receiving from the dispensaries in Arizona.
Good for them. That's great. So the medicine is through you guys, is going to be tested.
Yes.
But the state does not require that, correct?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think that they have a part in PAMA that says that it has to be tested, but
right,
it definitely will be.
Good. Good for Green Halo.
I mean, if they're requiring us to have everything down to the T, we'll need to know exactly what the milligrams are
for
each piece.
Absolutely. So then people can depend
no
on the consistency,
you know,
of their medicine. Absolutely. That's fantastic. What's one of your favorite edibles?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, edibles, I am sensitive to.
Ah.
So as a patient, I medicate more with the lozenges.
Okay.
Because those absorb in the oral mucosa of your mouth,
mm-hmm,
and enter the bloodstream that way. When it goes through my liver, I go to sleep. And that's it. And I don't really have sleep issues. that's not something that I have to medicate for.
There you go.
So that's not a... I like the candies. The candies are good because they allow me to do what I need to do throughout the day and just be very mellow and balanced. I'm not one way or the other.
So there's a difference between sucking on a lozenge and eating a brownie?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Versus maybe a little spray or...
Absolutely. The spray would be the same absorption method.
In the mouth.
Okay. The
and then what about, do you get high from a lotion? People want to know.
Some people say that they do.
Because it's heated,
I've never
right?
experienced it, but yeah, some people say that
they have experienced that.
You know, it's really amazing. The CB2 receptor is most found right underneath the surface of our skin.
Hmm.
And our skin is, you know, the largest organ that we have in our body. And so for us to be able to utilize the topical version of cannabis is amazing because we use those receptors, the CB2 receptors that don't normally get used when we smoke or eat or, you know, use lozenges.
Interesting.
So it's a really great way. You know, when I started making topicals, I thought, oh, this will be great for muscle pain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people can rub this on, it'll be great for muscle pain. And it was great for muscle pain. But what shocked us was that it was great for arthritic pain or bone pain.
Oh,
and it was also great for nerve pain or neuropathy. And so it had multiple pain relieving effects that we weren't necessarily expecting whenever we started using the topical.
Interesting. Wow. That's like an internal more, it sounds deeper. It sounds like a more deeper. That's good.
Or I think it's more localized. I see what
Thank you.
Saying. I think it's more localized.
Yeah,
you know,
to go specifically to
right here.
Then
right
it's,
here.
Thank you.
And I'm not smoking it and hoping it gets
get somewhere. Right. Yeah. Okay.
So,
I'm going to throw it on my shoulder.
You have a headache and then you stand on your head.
You blow it out and run into it real fast. Hey, I like that. All right.
That might cure it, but it also might be something else.
New wives' tale. New old wives' tale.
Yeah, I mean, well, it is kind of, it is a ritual kind of thing.
It's very ritualistic for people.
And I think the mm-hmm. one thing about, especially Americans, we've gotten away from that.
Very much
as the United States. And we're very, you know,
it's so therapeutic for people.
Pop a pill and
mm-hmm.
there you go.
Yeah.
Hopefully it gets there. You know, and we've gone away from a lot of the stuff that where our people are from, ancestors.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Growing and being a part of that whole process, it's so spiritual and therapeutic for people.
That
you know?
Seed wasn't here. It came from somewhere else.
Exactly.
So, interesting. Now, as nurses, do you get a lot of education on Eastern medicine? I mean, or even herbal medicine or natural medicine?
You know,
is it like talked on and then?
Yeah, it's complementary medicine. It's CAM, complementary alternative medicine. They talk about it for a week, maybe two. You know, they hit things. They talk about things vaguely. At least that was my experience, that it was a little bit more vague. I was very blessed to have an instructor who was a Reiki master.
Oh,
and
cool.
So she was very in tune to these different things. And I, you know, I had a passion for the natural side of things the whole time that I was, you know, I've always been that way. So I feel like maybe I got a little bit more because of who was there. And I can only speak from my own experience, but I know that it's not a big topic, but that they do touch on it and kind of give you that flow by, you know, these are the herbs and these are
right.
The things. But I don't think
kind of a general overview. We have a question, a blog. Someone wants to know, a patient wants to know about working within the healthcare system and talking to other people, patients, coworkers. That might be detrimental to your job, but it might be detrimental to somebody's health if you don't. I mean, where's the balance in that? What do you do?
That's a great question, and I'll tell you. I was just published in the Treating Yourself magazine. It was
awesome.
The current issue of Treating Yourself talks about nurses' support of medical cannabis. And in there, I state how for the longest time while I was working with the medical cannabis program, I would still, when people asked me what I did for a living, I would still say, I'm a home health nurse. It took a lot for me to be able to get over that because I didn't want that stigma associated with who I was. And I've gotten over that. At this point, medical cannabis is what I do as a nurse. I am a medical cannabis nurse.
Amen.
And so I'm following the law. I'm doing what I need to do. I'm helping patients that need this medicine. And it's vital that I'm there as a nurse standing up for them and that I got over myself and was able to say, hey, you know what? If I'm going to be judged in that way, I need to stand up and educate and help people realize we need to change that perspective.
You know, absolutely.
It's not a line of hippies at the door that are waiting to get in. I just had this experience with someone who was saying, you know, well, you know, I got a line of hippies out the door waiting to get their pot. And I said, you know, no, what we have are, you know, MS patients that can barely stand. I've got amputees that
people
are
in wheelchairs.
I've got, you know, PTSD patients that can barely stand to be in a line because there's more than two people there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are the people who need this medicine. It's not
absolutely.
It's not hippies looking for a, you know,
a little pot,
peace and love or whatever. Maybe it is, but who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, what we're doing is helping people feel better,
right?
To have a sense of well-being,
right?
So they can live their lives however they choose,
right?
I was talking to some patients the other day, and I was asking them, you know, how many times did you pick up that prescription and go home and read about it? Or go and do the education on that aprixafan or triplex or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But
good
how many times are we seeing patients going, oh, you know, I just found out that this strain does this, this, and this for me, or this cannabinoid does this, this, and this for me. Like, people are excited about this.
Well,
yeah, absolutely.
And in Green Halo, that's one of the things we've been working on extensively. Getting that information put together so that when patients come in and they have a question, we have answers for them. We have research studies that are right there that they can read these articles and see what it is that science is saying about it so that
absolutely.
They can feel better, they can be more educated. And you know, just like you said, we go and just take these pills with the population and we don't read what it is. We're maybe mixing things that shouldn't be mixed. And we're doctors aren't perfect. They do the best they can, but sometimes mistakes happen, and so you get, you know, medication errors and things like that. Mm-hmm. One, the beauty of cannabis is that cannabinoid medicine, there are no risks as far as death or crossing medications that can, you know, kill you.
And the side effects are very mild.
Very
red eyes. try now.
Sleeping.
I'm sleeping now.
Calmness.
Sometimes
anti-inflammatory.
If it's a sativa, you just talk too much.
Yeah.
You
know what?
I mean,
and that might not be a bad thing.
Or it's death.
You're clean too much. Yeah. Bummer.
Yeah, hey. But the scary thing is some of those ones are very toxic. And so some of them said even death. I mean,
yeah.
Or cause cancer.
I love the commercials that are like a 90-second commercial. Are filled like 90 seconds. It's probably only 30, but, you know, they talk about the medication for 2 seconds at the beginning,
and then
the rest of the commercial is
side effects. Yeah. Anti-migraine pill, it's going to cause migraines.
Yeah.
Internal bleeding. I love that one. May cause internal bleeding. What?
Or erection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw this thing about
erection for 40 hours.
Eyelashes.
Please call. Guys are like, hell no, I'm not calling you.
Yeah.
Going out.
I'm good. I'm good.
I heard one about the girl's eyelashes that makes them longer, but it could cause blindness.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Damn your eyes. Well, you have pretty eyes.
Is
who
that
is that?
Yeah.
Who is that?
I don't know.
How do they look? I can't
see.
Here, tell me. Who are you? Well, one of the coolest things, there was so much information at the Patients at a Time conference, but one thing that really struck me was that what they said was that our endocannabinoid system, and you said this earlier, it helps our bodies and our own and the other systems function better. It helps them facilitate their own bodies better so that patients don't need as much of ibuprofen, Vicodin, OxyContin, Tolerant, Dilaudid, those things. You know, we've had patients come in tumbleweeds that have completely got off all their meds. We've had some that can lower them so much they're feeling better. I mean, you see a difference in a day or two in people. It's remarkable.
Well, and they're getting out of their homes. I mean, I think the thing about, you know, being in home health where I was, and I come back to that because that's my experience, that's what I know. You know, those patients, to be on home health, you have to be classified as homebound. You can't really leave your home because you're too sick to leave.
Hmm.
But what I was finding were the patients that used cannabis, they were able to get off of their opiates, cut it by half, I was seeing usually. And that would enable them not to be so zonked out that they could get up and go to lunch with their friends. Maybe they don't go out and climb mountains or anything, but they go to the thrift store for an hour and rummage around, or they go to lunch for a couple of hours and
right.
walk around the mall. And so even just those small things that they're able to do were big in their world.
Huge.
Because otherwise they would just be on their couch or they would be asleep.
And to clean themselves, which
right.
being around other people is such a big part of team.
Oh, it's a huge part of
being
healing.
Social, it helps
and being
right.
validated.
Right.
Yeah. Talking to people that have like stories and
mm-hmm.
are also maybe afraid to talk about cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you start feeling a little more confident when the community
mm-hmm.
around you is accepting,
right.
you know. And, hey, that makes you feel a little
yeah.
better.
Well, and even those patients, I I'll bring it back to the nurses. You know, it's important for nurses to empower their patients. If this is the medicine you choose, this is good medicine. I've educated
mm-hmm.
myself and know that this is good medicine. I can empower you to do that because a lot of times you find patients who feel, you know, they only want to do what their doctor tells them to do. I use the example of my mom who was taking a medication. And she called me and told me this list of side effects she was having, all adverse. I said, Mom, you're allergic to the medication. Stop taking it. She's 77. I can't stop taking it. The doctor will be mad at me.
Oh my goodness.
Stop taking medicine.
Yeah.
Medical professionals, we need to remember how much of an influence we have. So if we can empower someone to say, this is okay medicine for you, then they're going to feel okay about doing that and living a better quality of life.
And sadly, it takes somebody being affected or knowing someone that's affected by something that really their last ditch effort is cannabis or their first effort is, regardless. It takes them knowing someone that's going through something that, you know, makes them a little more open. What is it, The Union, the movie The Union, I think, with Dr. Grinspoon. He says the same thing. He was just totally didn't want to hear about it until his son got sick. And even then, his wife and his son snuck off and tried cannabis, and the effects were just remarkable. He couldn't believe it. And then they told him, and he was like, okay, then that's what we do. And it took his own son getting sick for him to open his mind,
mm-hmm.
you know. But his mind opened, you know.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful thing. I think that people that normally would never think of using this medication, they're, you know, even as society is bringing it out, and we have 17 states now that are legal, you know, they, people are paying attention to that and saying, hey, there's something to that. And when it touches them personally, you're right. I mean, just
huge difference.
Just like the story that that came out about Jim Dyer, and the, you know, they're doing the phases of medical cannabis here in Arizona. And Jim Dyer is he's a wonderful example of somebody who never would have used this medication, thought about this medication until he was stricken with MS. And, you know, it caused him to have to retire from the, you know, the Arizona bar and all of the things that he was, that where he was working. And I mean, it completely changed his life. Now, through the use of this medication, and he's been open about it, he can sleep through the night.
Oh.
He has a relationship with his wife where, you know, he's not such a grumpy guy because he's in pain and angry about this disease process. So he can, it puts him in a better state.
Puts him at ease a little, yeah.
And it allows him to live his life with and be well.
Well, and the more you're at ease, the more your body can heal. When there's tension and stress, your body can't function well enough to even sometimes get you get through the day. Yeah. I have a question.
Yes.
You have children.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Dun, 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 dun. How do they feel? What do you say? What, you know?
You know, I taught my children to stay out of the medicine cabinet. I taught my kids to not eat a whole bottle of vitamin C, even though they taste good. I taught my kids not.
They do?
You know,
where you get those?
You know, not to, you know, I taught them not to, you know, that this is medicine, it's not candy, it's not play. My kids respect medical cannabis. They know it for what it is. They are fully aware of what it is. And when they hear things at school and they're educated the way they're educated, can I say a curse word? They call bullshit on that.
Good.
And
you can say it.
What they lose respect for the adults that are feeding them a line because they know better. And that's one thing that I would suggest to parents. Just be honest and teach them that it's medicine.
Uh-huh.
Don't try to hide or be any way, you know, ashamed of it, because kids will know. They will be curious. They'll find out on their own. And I would much rather be the one educating my children on medical cannabis than their friend or...
Absolutely, or their school.
You kind of put it into that box of where it's been.
You make
whole
it bad.
Time, you know, and you're teaching them that.
Well,
that's
they get curious.
Awesome.
I mean, I think that's the big thing. You know, I'm a psych nurse, so when you tell somebody no, this is, you know,
forbidden.
You can't have them,
right.
This is
cookie jar.
Like, hey, they want to get in there right away.
Yeah.
So it was better. It really just kind of took all the fun out of it. My kids have said that. And then, Mom, you took all the fun out of it.
There you go. They're not old enough to need it or use it at this point, your children?
No, my son's 17. He's a senior in high school. My daughter's 14.
So the American Cannabis Nurses Association, how's the feedback that you guys are getting in the medical community and from other doctors? I mean, are they saying, hey, nurses, I really want you to go to this program. I want you to look into this as being a part of it.
You know, it's interesting, I think, state to state, or just even area to area. Physicians, some doctors are curious, they'll listen, they want to know more. I sat down and had more than one conversation with physicians here in Arizona about it, and even received, you know, thank you cards in the mail saying, I really appreciate the information you shared. So, you know,
incredible.
Just I think some are open and some are not, just like the general population, I think you find. Some people are open, some are not. The thing with physicians is they're scared to lose their license. They're afraid of something like that. And, you know, I think...
Is that a real fear for them?
Is that a real fear? Yeah, I wanted to know that
same
thing.
You know, in New Mexico, the law covers physicians, and it states that they will not be prosecuted for... you know, referring patients to the program. It's not like they're prescribing. They refer the patients to the program. Here it's more of a recommendation to recommend patients to a program. You know, there shouldn't be an issue. There have been no physicians that to my knowledge, that have been under attack in Arizona or New Mexico for doing any, you know, recommending, because we are so medical that it's not really, I don't think it's really been an issue, but...
Right. Can nurses recommend?
Nurse practitioners can in New Mexico. I believe naturopaths and MDs can here.
Okay. Are you a patient?
Yes, I am.
Awesome.
I'm a patient in Arizona and in New Mexico.
And New Mexico. Okay. Or is it easier? What's it like in New Mexico
get
it? Oh, my. That's it. Oh, boy. I know, because there's like 15 minutes left, and we've got like 3 hours at least more of conversation. Jeez.
It's hard in New Mexico.
Okay.
I'll just sum it up.
Our tech guy just laid down. Go to sleep, right? He's like, oh, man, here comes the
thing.
Yeah.
He says, I'm
going
to get my card in New Mexico.
Yeah, he's like, All right, so if you're in New Mexico, might be a little challenging, but it's doable.
Yeah, start 3 months in advance.
Okay.
To get started.
All right. Well, that's okay. You know, this is what we've always said here is that at least we have a program. No program is perfect. There are 17 states out there in D.C. They're trying. And it takes us, it takes voters, it takes patients, it takes people to speak their minds, get educated, and speak out. And if it takes 3 months, it takes 3 months, but at least you have it. So work with it. Maybe, you know, the more people that are out there working for it, they'll get that knocked down to 2 or maybe even 1 month, you know,
yeah.
Or maybe even just a week or a couple of days like that takes care. You know, it's not a bad process here.
Yeah, it took 3 days. It took 3 months in New Mexico and just 3 days in Arizona.
Yeah, I bet you were shocked.
Mexico, Arizona.
Yeah.
Is there some other things that maybe New Mexico could take on or give to Arizona and say, you know, which this is a little bit faster over there, or this was?
You know, I think in New Mexico, there's not a lot of movement with that program. It's kind of similar to what you're finding in Arizona. The leaders, your politicians aren't that supportive of what's going on. In New Mexico, they're just kind of laying low and keeping quiet and servicing patients the best they can without stirring up any dust. Have to wait for the new election.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's just enough.
Vote, people.
Yes.
Get out there. Go online and check out which one of your politicians votes for medical cannabis. Look them up. Do your research before you just get in that box and start checking things you don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
Take 5 minutes, 10 minutes. It doesn't take too much time. That's my soapbox for the moment. How about, would you like to read Hempathy with us?
Sure.
That's fun. We always love when our guests read Hempathy with us. That's great. Hempathy, Food for Thought, is a little book we've been reading for quite some time now. I'll just quickly sum this up. It's an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden, the why not. We'll let the cannabis kid go with the why, and you go ahead and
pass it on.
No, you go ahead and describe the crazy picture. And
so I'm going to describe the crazy picture for why, doctrine of hypocrisy and fear. So it's must be the Pope.
It kind of looks like him. A little angry.
Yeah. The Pope.
A little mad. A little pissed off Pope. Yeah,
we're
wow.
We're in church. We've got the altar boy.
Oh, my goodness. There's a devil in the background.
Devil in the background. But
there ain't no blue dress on.
It's lightning. So it's on one side. And the eye of God.
Oh, I didn't notice that. Good one.
Like Adam and Eve.
Oh,
and,
stricken down with their pot leaves on.
So,
covering themselves.
Read.
Oh.
Oh, boy. What am I reading?
The doctrine.
Okay, the doctrine of hypocrisy and fear. The Catholic Church is the world's largest Christian church, claiming more than 1 billion members. Led by the Pope, it defines its mission as spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, administering the sacraments, and exercising charity. Yet, during the years of Inquisition, the church inflicted tortures and incarcerated over 125,000 individuals for a religious heresy.
Okay.
An estimated 6,000 were executed, and some 60,000 women burned at the stake as witches.
Ooh,
oh, perfect.
That's
good.
Great for today.
Good for tonight.
Watch out, witches. Unless those Catholics.
I'll get you. They don't Catholic.
Okay, today, this is all in fun, people. I'm not.
Yeah,
really
totally.
Sure.
No.
Today, more than 10,000 allegations of sexual abuse on minors have been filed against Catholic priests in the U.S., thousands more in Ireland and many other countries. The BBC has reported on allegations that the current Pope, when he was a cardinal heading the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, that he helped cover up the mass rate of children by priest. Oh, good.
Oh, jeez.
Jesus, what are we doing here?
Oh, my goodness.
Cardinal Ratzinger was, quote, responsible for enforcing a secret Vatican decree to shelter the perpetrators and silence the victims of abuse.
Oh. Wow.
That was scary. I mean, this is scarier than
that is scary.
Any costume I'm going to see tonight.
I don't know. We might. Here, we'll
let's make it all better.
Yeah, let's
make it
fix
better.
It. Yay! I don't know. You might want to even read it to make it better. Cut that over. Here we go. Look what we have on this side. This is great.
Enlightenment.
Jesus. This is great. He's probably wearing a robe made of hemp. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Hemp robe. And his hemp twine to tie it up. His little hemp satchel on the side.
I think those little cherubs are wearing cherub diapers.
Look at, little cherub guys. They've got little angels floating above. They're all smoking their hookah. Look how happy.
They are happy people.
He's just out there talking about peace in the world and how great hemp is and how good you feel on cannabis. Wow.
He's rubbing them down with the
he's got ointments.
Yeah.
They're just, look, even the birds are happy. Butterflies are happy. Fantastic. If you guys can, it's www.why-whynot.net. Check this book out. Get this. And this is called Why Not? A Doctrine of Love. Although most Christian religions demonize cannabis, little do they know that Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, the man who preached of love and forgiveness, gained his title through a Hebrew ritual reserved to high priests, prophets, and kings, in which one was drenched in the holy anointing oil created from several aromatic herbs, including cannabis. That's an Arabic Hebrew thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, cannabis. Jesus was anointed.
The
holy oil.
It only makes sense.
Was cannabis. Was mixed with cannabis. There you go. And this says
everything.
And in this book, it actually gives you the sources. So if you guys are calling BS on us right now, this book has sources in it. Too small to read them. Too old to read it. It says not to forget. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so.
Amen.
And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's awesome, I know. Wow, not even Sunday. I don't even know what to say after that. That's fantastic. You guys have to get this book.
What a great
book. I know. Empathy, food for thought.
From the conference.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I got ripped off in my bag. I didn't get one.
I think,
no, it was at the book.
Book.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You guys got all the
books. You got the VIP bag?
Oh, you guys. That was the last chapter. Well, how special. That was awesome. We had a special guest for our special last chapter. So it says, we're going to have to read this. It says, so why not? A special thanks to Zephon Flus for introducing me into this colorful industry and for all the wonderful people he has connected me with, including Fred Gardner, who has helped me perfect the words in this book, to Marco Renda for trusting in my abilities and for the international exposure treating yourself has offered me. Last but not least, to my wife, Simona, for motivating me into finishing this project. And you should see, this looks like a little happy Italian guy with his little, hemp overalls, green hemp overalls. And he's just a happy little camper whistling along with his golf club and in his hemp seeds he's planting along the way. What an awesome book. Everyone should go grab a copy of this. And maybe if there's another conference, we'll get that. We'll get him back and get a book there. We have, a couple announcements. Where are we? Announcements. Well, I don't even know if we had a moment to actually thank a couple people. We talked about the importance of testing our medicine. So we would like to thank AZ Med Testing.
I see
the Brenda. Woo-woo! AZ Med Testing offers medical marijuana testing in Arizona to ensure medicine is safe and effective in treating patients. Through scientific methodology, we extract the cannabinoid percentages from the medicine and provide analytical reporting for each cannabinoid characteristics. And Steve, Steve, we're still looking for our aliens. We can't find them, and we really want to say hi to these guys because there are no aliens in our cannabis. And, well, keep doing the good work. Keep those aliens out. Also, we would like to thank the Growers House. If you want to grow aliens, I mean cannabis, you can contact the Growers House at 227 East Valencia or growershouse.com for wholesale price hydroponics equipment. They offer free classes, one-on-one help with grow rooms, and a price match guarantee, not to mention the Growers House staff. Paul and Nate, father-son team, and a great group of guys down there are experienced growers, and they can help you get started and succeeding in your growing endeavors. And if you haven't checked out Mary Jane's Survival Guide, mjsurvival.com, you can pick up a guide at Tumbleweeds Health Center.
Good information in there.
Excellent. It's a medical marijuana patient guide for anyone seeking MMJ information in the state of Arizona and anywhere in the world at large. It's got recipes, pictures, articles, clinics, centers, more. We have, let's see, what do we have coming up here? Where
we have the National Marijuana Business Conference and VIP Gala.
We do. We have that
November
coming up.
November 8th through the 9th. 2012 in Denver, Colorado.
Yes, we do.
A lot of stuff is going on in Denver, so it's
a lot going on. Yeah, that's an important conference. I know you guys will be there, correct?
It's going to be an exciting conference.
Yeah.
And this is an exciting time with
for the whole country
having that legalization on the ballot. So we're
getting that support out there and being up there to support it.
Absolutely.
And finding out, hey, how they're doing it up there. Let's get the trickle on down here to Arizona.
Low down.
Yeah.
They're doing it because people like Heather and Ken are going up there to rally and support, which is what we need.
You have a booth and stuff up there?
No, but we're going to definitely be up there networking.
Great.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Good.
Exciting.
Yeah, that is exciting. It's what we have to do. We've got the Harm Reduction Conference.
Which some people from my work are actually going to be up there for.
In Portland, Oregon. Oh, that's great. That's the 15th through 18th of November.
So I have them bringing back some information for us.
Oh, good. Absolutely.
We're kind of sending them out. And then, Ken, have you got...
I know. I'm still waiting for that birthday ticket in the mail. I know. Belle's birthday ticket's waiting for the 25th Annual Cannabis Cup in Amsterdam. Who's doing it? Who's sending me there? And we have some very exciting news. Tumbleweeds Health Center celebrating 1 year. Yay! Tumbleweeds. November 10th, you all have to come down to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5301 East Broadway. There's going to be a DJ. We're having raffles. You can win certifications, memberships, vaporizers.
We're going crazy.
Bongs. We're going nuts. We're going to have massages, psychic readings. We're having hash class. We are having discounts on memberships. You name it. We're going to have vendors down here talking about the cannabis community. AZ Med Testing is going to be down here.
Exactly.
It's going to be an event. And next week, the owners of Tumbleweeds Health Center themselves will be on Weeds Day Wednesday to talk about this very event, Cannabis Kid. And I think Lady Luck is going to be down here to do an interview with the owners. I know. They're excited. I know. So, you guys, everybody, come down to Tumbleweeds. Lots going on. Heather, thank you so much for being here, for all your wonderful information. I didn't know when we invited you for ACNA, American Cannabis Nurses Association. You're just a wealth of information about everything. Do you have a website that people can contact you maybe if they want to talk about nursing or anything in the industry?
Did you say that you were planning on getting a chapter started?
Absolutely. And yeah, this is actually our big announcement that we're going to be opening creating the AZCNA, the Arizona Cannabis Nurses Association.
Right.
And we're calling all Arizona nurses to come out, get educated.
Yay.
Maybe we can come back on and have everything set and ready to go.
Oh, my gosh.
We'll give you all of that information at that time.
Big group of nurses in here.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great. We have nurses all over the state that are excited, and we're putting things together and getting ready to launch this thing. And really, our focus is to educate. So we'll have a wealth of information on our website. And, I'd love to come back and talk about that.
Oh, we would love to have you anytime. And that would just be a whole lot of fun to have a whole big, great big group of nurses here. And so let's see, it's Halloween, so we're going to have to close with our Halloween theme song here. We would like to thank Heather Maness of, oh my gosh, I'm saying ACNA, I've got my ACNA here. Thank you for joining us. Yes, at the Green Halo. Look forward to seeing the Green Halo open soon, if Arizona's hopefully one of the first dispensaries opening here. We would like to thank Blog Talk Radio for an ever dependable, lasting radio station. Yay! Growers House, AZ Med Testing, Mary Jane Survival Guide, and Tumbleweeds Health Center. Come down and celebrate their birthday. It's going to be awesome. Lots of giveaways, lots of fun, free things. Come network with fellow patients. Come learn about your cannabis community. Next week, the interview with the owners. Lots for sale at Tumbleweeds. And remember,
be smart,
be safe, and educate. Thank you for joining Weeds Day Wednesday. Everybody, be safe out there tonight. Have fun. Be spooky, but be safe. Thank you. Mwah.